Insurance is like a parachute. If it's not there the first time, you probably won't need it again. I am Rob West. Kidding aside, if you have a family, life insurance is essential, and term insurance is the best kind. But what's the best way to buy it? We're off today, so please hold your phone calls. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Okay, it seems like we get a question about life insurance almost every day. Do I need it, or should I get term or whole life? Well, let's clear those up first. If you have a family that depends on your income, you need life insurance. If you're a stay-at-home spouse caring for children, you too need life insurance, primarily because child care is expensive. Now, we almost always tell folks to choose term over whole life policies because term is pure insurance. It doesn't muddy up things with a savings component, and it's far cheaper. So you want term insurance, but there are several ways you can go about getting it. And we should mention that whichever way you buy it, you always want to choose a company that has an A++ rating, and you can check out insurers at ambest.com. So how to buy term insurance? Well, first, you can get it directly from an insurance company. This is for folks who like to deal with an older, established insurer, and most of the big name insurance companies would fit into this category. Many of these companies have been around for more than a century and have great stability. When you buy through them, you'll probably have to deal with an agent on the phone who will take you through the process. Another way would be to use a comparison site. This is good if you want to price shop in a hurry. I won't name any of these websites, but you probably hear ads for them all the time. These actually aren't insurance companies themselves. Instead, they gather price quotes from several different insurers as a convenience for you. Then, when you choose a policy, you actually buy it from the company that offers it. This way, you can save a lot of time because you only have to enter your information one time instead of having to do it for each company as you shop around for quotes. But keep in mind that these comparison sites often deal with only a select group of insurers that pay them a commission. So it's possible to miss the very best quote if the site you're using doesn't have an agreement with that company. You can also buy a policy through a new company that's associated with one of the bigger legacy insurance companies. These upstart insurers have the stability of the older companies that back them financially, but they exist largely in the digital realm. They're for folks who don't want the hassle of talking to an agent and would rather apply for a policy online. So if you find a great quote online from a fairly new company that you may not have heard of before, check to see if it's backed by one of the traditional insurers. If it is, you get that measure of reliability while still working completely online. Now, there's one more way to buy term life insurance, and this is really about the type of insurance you're getting. You have a choice between what's called simplified term and instant issue. As the name implies, instant issue is for folks who want life insurance without having to get a medical exam. You can usually apply online and get an answer right away. Several smaller companies specialize in instant issue policies, but several of the larger legacy insurers also offer them. They're great for people with pre-existing conditions who want access to life insurance. But they do come with a few catches. The death benefit with an instant issue policy tends to be smaller. Also, the term is likely to be shorter. And finally, it probably will cost more than a regular term policy that includes a medical exam. Now, you might be wondering just how much life insurance you need. Well, a good rule of thumb is 12 to 15 times your annual salary. For a non-working spouse taking care of children at home, the rule of thumb is 5 to 10 times your annual expenses. And one final thought, another question we sometimes get is whether life insurance, or any insurance for that matter, is biblical. Or does it mean that you're not trusting God to provide? To be sure, God will provide because He promises to, and He is always faithful. But we are called to be stewards, and taking care of your family is certainly good stewardship. 1 Timothy 5:8 reads, "But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Unless you're independently wealthy and don't need to work, you need life insurance to provide for your family should something happen to you. Well, I hope that puts your questions to rest. As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
On American Family Radio, hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm a layman here to remind you that faith sharing is a barometer for your spiritual health. Every time you take the time to move someone closer to Jesus, you give God joy. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. So if you're feeling a little weak in your faith these days, it's time to put a smile on God's face, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. When God loves you, He's salvationing you. And when you love on others, God's salvationing others through you. That's what loving your neighbors as yourself looks like, allowing yourself to be an instrument of God's love to those around you. That's when the joy of the Lord becomes your strength. Even better, over 80% of the unchurched are already looking for somebody to tell them about God. That's almost everyone around you when you're in a public place. And profoundly, when you love on people today, you'll be amazed how quickly normal conversations become spiritual conversations as God gives you the word to say when you need them. That's His promise. If you need help sharing your faith, go to igniteamerica.com.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
Do you ever feel stressed or anxious about money? If so, that's normal, but you don't have to accept that. You can find peace of mind and financial security. Learn how with the 31-day devotional, Money Seeking God's Wisdom. You'll find daily questions to reflect on and practical exercises paired with scripture for spiritual and financial growth. Right now, you can request your copy of the Money Seeking God's Wisdom 31-day devotional with a gift of any amount at moneywise.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Thankful to have you along today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. We're going to turn the corner and take your calls and questions today here in just a moment. Before we do that, you know, if you need wisdom, practical help, or discipline to save for the future, I can think of no better tool than the MoneyWise app. In addition to managing all of your accounts in one place, it also includes a handy goals feature for you to help save for future purchases. You can choose from one of three budgeting options depending on your management style, and it's available on both desktop and mobile. By the way, the online discussions in the app are phenomenal. You can contribute, ask your own questions, or even weigh in on someone else's. So just head to moneywise.org and click the app tab for more details. All right, let's head to the phones. Let's start in Broken Bow, Nebraska. Hey, Rylan, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thank you very much for taking my call. I've got I received a promotion from my company through the 401k, and they're asking if I'm interested in a managed account program, which would be different than my target date fund for my 401k. Do you have any experience with the managed account program? I'm just trying to decide if it's worth the, you know, extra cost, or what your thoughts are.
Yeah. Who is the custodian of that?
So it's a Vanguard is the 401k, you know, provider. And then it's, I think, Edelman Financial Financial Services that would do the basically provide a individual maybe to kind of oversee the 401k
yes.
plan.
Sure. And what would be the fee on that? Do you know?
There was a promotion for like 3 months free, and then it was going to be 0.1 or 0.2%, but I didn't fully understand the fee schedule. So I talked to my financial advisor, and he goes, well, you're going to have a hard time beating the target date fund because that's, you know, electronically generated. But I do see the value in having a individual review it, you know, review the financials.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you could certainly go either way. You'll find plenty of data on both sides of this conversation. There's a pretty famous anecdote out there about Warren Buffett, and when he challenged some folks to outperform his indexed approach to investing that he ultimately won, that resulted in a lot of press around that. But depending on the right active manager, you can actually do better, especially in a market like this where the market's kind of sideways. Well, it's been going down as of late, but I think we're going to be in this sideways trend here for a while. Extreme volatility up and down, especially as we navigate kind of the economic conditions we're in. This is a stock picker's market where, you know, you're going to do better with a managed account where somebody can, you know, concentrate in certain sectors that are going to do better in various economies, especially like we're in right now, versus just capturing the broad moves of the market. But there's a case for that as well. And again, there's plenty of data that would support that idea that we should, you know, not try to pick the winners and losers, even if it's by sector versus individual company, and just stay with a broad market allocation that automatically gets more conservative, moving more heavily toward fixed income and bonds over time. So it's really kind of the approach you want to take. I know at Vanguard, they do have a managed account program, which is basically an advisory service for employee-sponsored retirement plans like you have here. So I think the key is, number one, what is the fee? What's the cost to that? You want real clarity into that. The target date funds are going to be very low cost. This is going to be more expensive. And who would be managing that? And what is that person's track record? And what are they going to do different than perhaps what you have right now? And then at the end of the day, it's really just what you feel most comfortable with. I wouldn't be able to say whether one is going to outperform the other than to say, in a market like we're in now, you know, you would typically look perhaps more toward a managed option if you have that option. But if we're taking a long-term approach here, 10, 20 years plus, I think there's a case to be made for the target date as well. So I could go either way. I think it's really personal preference on your part.
Perfect, Rob. Well, I appreciate you taking my question. I think I might lean more toward the managed account fund, where I'm in my mid-30s and have a little bit of time to maybe play, you know, the upside of things. So
sure.
Thanks so much, Rob.
You're welcome. And let us know how that works out. I don't think that's a bad choice at all. We appreciate you calling, Ryland. Let's see, Hollywood, Florida. Hey, Michelle, how can I help you?
Hi, Rob. This is Michelle. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks. Go right ahead.
Okay, so my question is, I would love to purchase a home, hopefully sometime next year. But with the inflation and the increase in interest rate, I wanted to know, would it be a smart idea to purchase a home next year?
Is this a first-time home purchase for you, Michelle?
Yes.
Okay. And what have you been able to save up to this point for a down payment?
A good amount.
Do you have a target for what you'd like to spend for this purchase when that time comes?
So I was thinking about maybe a $200K to $300K home.
Okay. All right. And have you done some looking to see if, you know, where, based on the part of Florida you want to buy in, the location, the school district, any of those kind of criteria that are important to you, have you started to look to see what's available in that price range?
Yes, I have. I looked into Ocala, Florida, Port St. Lucie area.
Yeah, Okay. Yeah. And those are certainly going to be more cost effective than West Palm or Fort Lauderdale or Miami. So that's not a bad thing. You know, I think the timing that you've got here is fine. You know, if you're going to be ready to make this purchase in the next year, I think that's a good thing. I don't know that you're necessarily going to be any better off waiting 2 years. If you're ready to make the purchase, meaning you've got the down payment, and I'd encourage you to have at least 20% down. And then the mortgage that you've got after the 20% down, I'd try to target no more than 25% of your take-home pay going toward principal, interest, taxes, and insurance, the mortgage payment. That's going to ensure that you've got plenty left over for everything else. And if you can do that, then I'd say sometime in the next year would be fine. We've already seen somewhat of a transition from a buyer's market, or excuse me, a seller's market to a buyer's market, whereas, you know, they're still somewhat low inventory, but with the interest rates rising, you know, houses are staying on the market longer now. We're typically not seeing the bidding wars that we were, the premiums over the, you know, the true market value. You know, a lot of that's eroding as the economy softens and interest rates have been heading higher. And that will continue over the next year. And so we've already seen some signs, real signs, that the housing market is cooling, even in Florida, where it's been one of the hottest markets across the country. So I would say, Michelle, I would have no problem with a one-year time horizon on that. I think the key is finding the right home that doesn't cost you to stretch beyond your budget and take on more mortgage than you really can afford. And that's where that 20% down and then no more than 25% of your take-home pay for your mortgage payment will make sure that you don't get that out of line. All right? Hope that's helpful to you. We appreciate that, and all the best to you as you find that new home. If you've benefited from the principles and practical advice that we share every day on this program, maybe you've connected with a MoneyWise coach, or you use the MoneyWise app, or you read our MoneyWise weekly wisdom email. Well, all of that is possible only because of your financial support. And I would just ask whether you would consider a gift. Just head to moneywise.org. You can give online, you can give over the phone, or you can give electronically there. Again, moneywise.org, and thanks in advance. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice, and is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day, banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
Siri, I need some advice.
What's up?
I have questions about planning for retirement, long-term care insurance. I don't know where to start.
It sounds like you need the MoneyWise app. It's a free app that will help you find those answers and more.
Really?
Sure thing. You can ask your questions within the app and access helpful articles and MoneyWise podcasts.
Sounds great. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Okay, searching for MoneyWise on the App Store. Learn more at app.moneywise.org.
AFA Action. Repairing the foundations. American Family Radio.
Announcing AFA.net/connect.
One News Now.
It's the one click that will link you to so many AFA platforms. Pick and choose which updates you want to receive. Easily subscribe or unsubscribe.
American Family Studio.
And to quote our privacy policy, American Family Association will not sell, rent, or lease your personal information to outside organizations.
AFA Journal.
Make a better connection with AFA at AFA.net/connect.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing and the MoneyWise program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Dad was concerned about the direction America was headed, and he was determined to do something about it. Maybe that describes you today. If it does, I want to strongly encourage you to consider a charitable gift annuity to American Family Association Foundation.
Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost-sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
Thankful to have you along today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Phone lines aren't open today since this is a recorded program, but we have some great questions we think you will find helpful. You know, the reason we take an hour each day to come together and talk about managing money is not because we're looking to make more of it necessarily, not because we want to be able to build bigger barns. It's really because we recognize that this is a high calling we've been given. We're stewards of God's resources, so we want to be found faithful as we manage those resources. And so each day we mine the scriptures and try to apply the timeless wisdom from the Bible, the big themes in scripture from the Old and New Testament, to how we can manage money today and do that in a way that allows us to live within God's provision, to hold it loosely, to define how much is enough, to not draw our cues from the world that would have us to believe our self-worth is equal to our net worth, and we need to keep up with the best version of someone else's life on social media, but to say, what has God provided me? And Lord, what would you have me to do with that? How much should I give? What's the appropriate amount to provide for my family? How much should I save for the future? Where is enough, both with my lifestyle and my accumulation? These are all difficult decisions, but they are decisions that I think will allow us to exercise our faith. And God has always really been about our hearts. And I believe the way we handle money, well, that's one of the training grounds of the heart. We see in Scripture that if something is going to compete with God for a first position in our lives, well, money is a primary competitor to lordship. So when we really focus on it this way and recognize every spending decision is really a spiritual decision, it does change the conversation and it puts money in the proper context. I hope that's an encouragement to you today. Listen, whatever mistakes you've made in the past, let's leave them right there and let's move on with confidence and say, how can we honor the Lord from this point forward? All right, we're going to head back to the phones to McAllister, Oklahoma. Julie, you're next on the program. Go ahead.
Okay, yes, I'd like to know if I have to use a credit counseling service or if I can do it myself to contact my credit card companies to get a lower interest rate.
Yeah, how much do you have on credit cards, Julie?
I have about $1,200.
Okay.
And I'm getting ready to retire, so I'm not going to be using them.
Okay, great. So you are able to live within your means? You're not having to continue to charge for unbudgeted items?
No.
Okay, great. Yeah, I think you're in a position here, Julie, where you could probably do this yourself. How many credit cards does this represent?
Two.
Okay. And what do you have available each month beyond the minimum payments after all your bills are paid that you could use to send extra? Do you have anything left over?
Okay, I've been sending about twice as much as what the minimum payment, sometimes three times as much on each card.
Okay, very good. And how does that $1,200 break down between the two cards, roughly?
Okay, one of them is probably $1,000, and the other one is the $200.
Okay, so let's do this. Let's focus all the extra that you have on that $200 balance until that one's gone. I think once you pay that one off, you're going to feel a lot better knowing that you don't have two cards any longer, you have one. And then let's take all of that extra money plus the minimum payment that was going to the one with $200, and let's just focus in on the one with $1,000, and you'll be surprised that in no time you'll get that taken care of. I think that's the better way to go. And until you get to about $4,000 in credit card debt, Julie, it probably doesn't make sense to use a credit counseling program. I would say just do it yourself. Let's focus on that smallest balance first and then move right on to the next one, okay?
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks for your call. We appreciate it. Jean in Minnesota, Gladys in Chicago coming your way. Next up, Ruth, you go right ahead. How can I help you?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. About 4 months ago, I transferred from my traditional IRA to the Roth. I'm 65 and I'm planning to retire within the next 5 years. And I want to know if I made the right decision or should I transfer back to the traditional?
Yeah, I see. You know, you're close enough to retirement to expect that your income will be less when you stop working than it is now. Is that probably true?
Yes.
Okay. So that means that you will be perhaps in a lower tax bracket when you begin taking this out, which would mean that the traditional IRA would probably be better for you now because you'll get more benefit with higher taxes today while you're still working through the immediate deduction that comes from the traditional contributions. And then that'll grow tax deferred. And then if you pull that out while you're earning less in retirement, arguably you would pay less taxes. It's not, I don't think you made a bad move. I actually like having both options available to you. But if we just look at it from a purely a financial standpoint, you're probably better off given that you're so close to retirement and these are usually your highest earning years to take advantage of the traditional IRA and benefit from that deduction right now, as opposed to when your income is a lot lower. The only benefit, though, beyond that to the Roth specifically is there's no required minimum distribution. So if you find yourself in a position, Ruth, in retirement where you don't need this money because you're living off Social Security or you have other income sources, the nice thing about the Roth is when you get to 72, the government won't make you take any of it out. So you could leave it there, let it grow for when you might need it down the road, or if you want to pass it on as an inheritance, something like that. But apart from that, I think the traditional, for most folks in this season of life, is probably the better option.
Okay, so just to make sure I understand, so after 70, if I haven't taken it out, I should transfer it over back into the Roth, is what you're saying?
No, not necessarily, because when you do that, you're going to create a taxable event. I'm just saying that one of the benefits of the Roth for the money that you already have put in there is that anything that goes into the Roth doesn't get is not subject to the required minimum at age 72. With a traditional 401k or IRA, when you get to 72, you've got to pull the money out based on a table that the IRS gives you. They'll tell you a certain amount each year based on your life expectancy that you're required to pull out and pay tax on. That's not the case with the Roth. I wouldn't necessarily move money for that reason, but I would just say you can know that that's one of the benefits for the money that you have put in the Roth is you're going to be able to leave that there as long as you want until you need it. So that's really the benefit there. Hope that helps you, Ruth. Thanks for calling today. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more Money Wise on American Family Radio.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
The purpose of government is to secure God-given or inalienable rights to man.
America's premier historian, David Barton.
John Dickinson, who's also a signer of the Constitution, he said, an inalienable right is a right which God gave to you and which no inferior power has a right to take away.
Wall Builders Live captures the ideas of the Founding Fathers and then applies those ideas to the issues of today. Sunday morning at 11:30 Central on American Family Radio.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances, and MoneyWise is here to help you and millions of others learn to be wise stewards. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from MoneyWise patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? If so, please consider becoming a monthly MoneyWise patron. Visit MoneyWise.org and click Give on the homepage.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thrilled to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. This is where we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. What are you thinking about financially today? How can you process that decision through the lens of Scripture as we apply the counsel of God's Word to your financial decisions and choices? The themes that we see in Scripture that we're to live by holding what God has entrusted to us loosely, by accepting our role as steward or manager, by not allowing the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches to choke out the word in our lives, to live with contentment and have generosity be a theme or a hallmark of our life. As we put all of that together and then seek the Lord for His guidance for us individually, we can then make decisions about lifestyle and saving and giving and all of it. But we want to do that together here in community each day on MoneyWise, and we'd welcome your calls. All right, back to the phones we go to Chicago. Hey, Gladys, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi, thank you again for your show and for everything you do. And I have a question. I listened quite often, and I had started to, I went online to set up an IBOND account. And
yes,
for
ma'am.
Whatever reason, when I entered my information, they sent me back a message that said, we can't verify that this is you, and you'll have to download a form. And you have to send the form in, and once we get that form, then we can allow you to open the account, and that it may take 13 weeks before that's done. So I know. And then my question was, I wanted to send it in as, you know, expeditiously as possible. I was going to send it by certified mail, but I don't know if when it's sent in, if there's someone who can actually sign for it, or, you know, I don't know if that would be wise to send it by certified mail or not.
Yes, interesting. Okay, well, you know, I'm not familiar with that, but I will tell you that I'm on the website right now at treasurydirect.gov, and I do see that there is a reference to the fact that they say, if you're asked to send us an account authorization form, and I suspect that that's what's going on here, you must submit the form before you can access your account. It says, don't forget to have your signature certified. So it sounds like that is something that does happen, although I didn't experience that. But in this digital age, obviously, they have to be able to verify your identity. And if there's some sort of hiccup in that process technologically, it may not be anything that you did, then, you know, there needs to be another form of verification. I would probably try to reach out to them. I know when you get to the website, treasurydirect.gov, Gladys, if you click on the Contact Us button, although they will apologize for the long wait times, there is a phone number there for you to call Monday through Friday from 8 to 5 Eastern. And I'd probably make that call just to see if there is a way to expedite it. You could also try to reach them electronically. But it sounds like that absolutely is something that happens. It is legitimate. So I think you're right to ask, is there any way to expedite it? Because if you can, that would get this process done a little quicker. I'd hate for you to have to wait that long.
Yeah, and when I tried reaching them, they gave a message that due to the large volume, that there's no one available.
I can understand that. Well, I'd probably just follow the process. There is a good set of FAQs there. Maybe you can find some answers to your questions about how you can get this document in as quickly as possible. Unfortunately, I don't have the details on that, but I would just say stay at it, Gladys, and if you do end up having to send it via the regular mail and just wait it out, well, unfortunately, that may be the case, but we appreciate you checking in with us. Sorry I couldn't be more helpful to you, but if you want to update us along the way, don't hesitate to reach back out. God bless you. Let's see. Gene's in Minnesota. I understand, Gene, you're driving, so you be careful, but you go right ahead.
Okay. Thank you for taking my call. Yes, sure. I have a question. I'm retired, and I'm have a pension and Social Security and a couple of 401ks, but I recently attended a church informational session on variable annuities. And I'm just phoning to see what your understanding and knowledge is about that, about them, and if that would be something you would recommend over a 401k to switch over.
Sure. So you are retired now or heading toward retirement? You are.
No, okay. I am. Yeah.
All right. And what do you have in that 401k, Gene?
I'm going to say around 300 plus.
Okay.
Somewhere 300 to 350, somewhere in there.
Very good. And what income sources will you have now that you're retired? Are you already collecting Social Security?
Yep. And a pension from my employer, a past employer, and then some farmland rent.
Oh, great. So are you planning to touch the $300,000 at all in the near term?
Yeah, I am planning to take, or have been taking some monthly.
Okay, how much roughly each month are you pulling out of that?
About $1,200.
$1,200 a month. Okay, yeah, so you're pulling $14,000 a year. Normally, we would say we'd like for you to try to keep that to around 4% a year, and that's about $12,000, so about $1,000 a month would be ideal on $300,000. You know, variable annuities, it's a contract with an insurance company, Gene, that pairs the growth potential of the stock market with the steady retirement income that annuities offer. So it's similar to a retirement account. It allows you to choose a portfolio of investments that fits your goals. You know, this means taking on more risk than you might with other annuities in exchange for better return. So if you have a fixed annuity, you get a guaranteed rate of return. With a variable annuity, there's the possibility of losing money, but a lot of them will have a floor where you can't lose below a certain amount, and that's pretty attractive to folks, especially in a market like we're in now. I'm not a big fan because there are charges, surrender charges on the withdrawals. They have, you know, other fees that make them somewhat expensive. They're complicated. You lose access to your money. So if you needed to tap into more than just a steady income stream, you know, in retirement, because you had a major medical event or something like that, I like the idea of you accessing, being able to access the principal if you need it. So for me, my first choice would be for you to find a financial advisor, an investment advisor that could take responsibility, take discretion of this money. And as a fiduciary, there is that, that is acting in your best interest, managing this money around your goals. So trying to at least make up what you're taking out every year just to protect the principal. That would be my preferred approach because you get all of the upside and you have access to your money. Whereas with the annuity, you're going to get some of the upside. You're going to get a limit on the downside, but you're going to, you know, pay these extra fees and you're not going to be able to access the money if you need it. So if I were you, I'd head to moneywise.org. And if you don't have an advisor that you're already connected to or that you know of, just search for a certified Kingdom Freedom Advisor there in Minnesota on our website. Interview two or three, find the one that's the best fit, and then hire that individual to manage this for you. But if at the end of the day you'd feel more comfortable knowing that you want to transfer the risk to the insurance company and know what your downside risk is, or rather than a variable annuity going into a fixed annuity where you have a guaranteed rate of return that insurance company would pay you and you don't have to think about the stock market, that certainly is an option, and it's one that's attractive to some folks because they just have more peace of mind that way. It's just not my first choice. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. Thank you very much.
All right. You're welcome, Gene. We appreciate you calling today. This is MoneyWise, where we apply the wisdom of the Bible to your financial decisions and choices, recognizing we're stewards of God's resources. And guess what? That's a pretty high calling. We're managing money for the King of Kings. Let's be found faithful in that. Stay with us. More to come just around the corner.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. The other side of the world, it's a place of mystery, at least for most of us. How do the people there live? What language do they speak? What do they eat? How do they see the world? Most of us will never find out. But the apostles found out. Right before the resurrected Jesus ascended to heaven, he said this to his chosen messengers: "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And that's exactly what happened in the book of Acts. These people went all over the world with the gospel message. The good news has even come to us. Do you believe? Get started with Anchor Devotional today. Visit GetAnchor.com.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options in plain English? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a certified Kingdom advisor in your area, visit MoneyWise.org and click the link that says Find a CKA. That's MoneyWise.org.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio as we apply biblical wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. Back to the phones we go. Tennessee, Kathy, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi. I have a 90-year-old mother who has vascular dementia. She's in the late stages, and I'm her POA. I am currently on her checking and savings account, and what we do is transfer money from her savings account into checking to take care of her monthly bills. I am wanting to move this money that's in the low-interest savings account to a high-yield savings account. The company that I'm wanting to move it to, since I already have an account there, is wanting to make me the primary and her the secondary, and I don't want to do that. I wanted her to be the primary. So my question is there any reason why I can't just put it in her name alone and just continue to transfer, as needed into her checking account when she needs the money from the high yield and just do it like I have been doing it?
Yes. Well, yeah, I think that'd be the only way you'd want to do it. You don't want your name to be anywhere on the account. So you would have the legal authority as the POA to manage their bank accounts, or in this case, your mom's accounts for her. And so being able to execute documents and open and close and change accounts. But you don't want to be listed on there, because then that becomes, you're in part an owner there, and that's really not the objective here.
Yeah, exactly, and that's what I kept saying. I want her to be the primary. It's her money. And, you know, when she passes, she's got a will to take care of anything that's remaining. So,
yes. Yeah. So I think you're just initiating, you're opening an account in her name, but as the power of attorney, you're the one executing the documents on her behalf. And, you know, that's done every day, and there's no reason why you can't do that.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That's all I needed.
Okay, Kathy, thank you for calling. We appreciate it. Let's see. Illinois, Renee, you're next on the program. Go ahead.
Thank you for all you do.
Thank you.
I have an old educational IRA. It's about 22 years old, and my son and I are both on it. And he doesn't need it for education. He went into the military, and he wants to buy a first-time house, first-time homeowner. And I was reading something that he could use that for first-time homeowner up to $10,000. I think it's one time. And because my name is on it, I was wondering if I could actually give him the second portion, which is a little less than $10,000. But I don't know how that works. And would that be a one-time $10,000 for me as well? Or how does that work?
Yeah, that's a good question. So it's a custodial account, essentially, this education IRA for his benefit. So you'd only be able to withdraw the $10,000 for one of you, and essentially, or for him, and he comes out penalty free. You would still owe the taxes on it, but it would come out penalty free up to $10,000 for a first time home purchase. But you wouldn't be able to do that twice.
Okay. Okay. What about if he has a spouse? Does that count as his second situation?
No.
Okay.
No, his IRA is in his name only. So an IRA is for one individual. It can't be joint.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, Renee. Yeah, all the best. And make sure you set aside the taxes on that, even though there's not a penalty as that money comes out. But all the best to him as he looks toward buying his first home. That's very exciting. I'm sure he's thrilled to be able to do that. And I'm glad to hear he was able to get through college and still have some money left over, which is a great thing as well. We appreciate your call. Let's stay there in Illinois. Chicago, Addie, go right ahead.
Hi, I was calling because I hear you. First off, thank you for all you do for us, giving us information. But I'm really concerned. I have an 800 credit score, but I have several cards that have never really been used, so they're just there. But because of all, you know, the fraud and this and that, I want to close them, but how much will that impact my score?
Yes. Well, the key here is, you know, I like the idea if you have extra cards for you to go ahead and start closing them. I would just do it over time. So how many cards do you have that you're looking to close?
I'm probably looking to close at least five because they're more like stores that I don't really go to. So,
okay. And are you looking to seek new credit in the next 6 months, buying a car or a house or something?
No, not at all. And I do have, like, mixed credit cards that don't have a balance on them, but they do have high credit limits. I just don't want to use them.
Yeah. And do you said you do carry a balance on some of these or no?
No, on the major credit cards, no. I have, like, a department store that I pay off the balance every month.
Okay.
And so I'm just trying to keep my score up and, you know, not have to rely on the major credit cards unless, you know, there was like an extreme emergency.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I think the key here is that because you're paying off everything at the end of the month, no matter which card you use, and you're probably only using one or two of them, closing these accounts, you know, the biggest issue would be your credit utilization ratio, which means that as the accounts get closed, that limit comes out of your total available limit, which then pushes the available limit down. And if you were carrying balances, those balances are a larger percentage of the limit that you have. And so that credit utilization ratio, when it trips above 30%, is really going to start to pull your score down. That's really not an issue here. So really, it's just going to change your credit mix and maybe your credit history, because some of those perhaps older cards are now out of the equation. But any decline, Addie, for you closing these is going to be minor and it's going to be temporary. So if you have an 800 credit score, could you dip down to 780? Sure. But the reality is, if you're not out there getting ready to buy a house or a car, it doesn't really matter. Because this is going to come back, because you're managing your money responsibly. And again, the main issue, which is credit utilization, isn't a factor for you. So what I would typically recommend with five cards is you do three of them now, and then in 6 months, you do the other two. Given that you're not out there seeking credit, if you wanted to do all five now, you could. I'd probably spread it out, but I wouldn't be concerned about the impact. Any impact is going to be small, and it's going to come back over time.
Okay, thank you so much. I just really want to close them. I don't need them, like I said. And then it's like you almost hate even having them around in the house because, I mean, God forbid something happened, you know. And,
yes. I think that's right. It just will simplify your financial life. You won't have to keep up with as many accounts, and it's five less accounts that could be compromised and that you would have to, deal with, somebody fraudulently charging against them or something like that. So I like the idea of you getting rid of them. We appreciate your call, Addie. Thanks so much. To Akron, Ohio, WCRF Charlotte, you're next on the program. Go ahead.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
I have a quick question, and that is, I am 60 years old. I was unemployed for a bit, but now I'm working and debt-free. But I guess I needed some advice on, for my age, I do have going into investments and 401ks and all like that stuff. But what would be the wisest, especially with today's climate, the wisest way to invest and save for retirement and future while I'm also, giving and doing all that?
Yes. Do you have a company-sponsored retirement plan at work, Charlotte?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And are you contributing to it currently?
I am. I'm contributing to that. Plus, I have an old IRA and from that I still have with a different company, plus a designated, I think it's called designated beneficiary account.
Sure.
As well.
Okay, and what percent of your income are you putting into your 401k?
Right now, I'm putting 10%.
Okay, very good. And so are you looking to put more aside because you feel like you're behind, or what is it you're really trying to accomplish?
Well, I know earlier or up until this point, I have not really been aggressive, and I had to pull out a lot of the money that I had to kind of live on when I was unemployed and homeless for a while. And so I'm just kind of restocking, and I just, knowing the years that I have left to work, I just really wanted to have the best decisions.
Yeah. So I think two things. One is I'd try to bump that contribution up to as much as you can. So you can get, as much going into that on a tax deferred basis as possible. So I'd bump that up to 15%, or you could even ask, what percent do I need to put in for me to be able to max out my annual 401k contribution? I like that a lot. And then secondly, take another look at the investment options in there and just make sure you're allocated properly based on your age and risk tolerance. And if you just stay at that, putting in the maximum every year with a good mix of investments, and you do that until you retire, I think that will certainly put you in a much better position moving forward. If you maxed it out and you had the ability to do even more, you could look at adding to a Roth IRA in addition to that. You could put in $7,000 this year as someone who's over the age of 50. So I think both of those would be great and would get more money working for your future. Hopefully that helps you, Charlotte. We appreciate your call today. We're just about out of time. Nancy in Spokane, we're not going to get to your call, but I do see your question here. Your husband passed away. You had a trust that you wanted to redo before he died. You all never got to it. You're wondering if you can break that trust. You're going to need to check with your estate attorney, but just generally speaking, no. Living or revocable trusts become irrevocable upon the death of the trust maker or makers. So it can't be altered in any way once the successor trustee takes over management of it. If it was irrevocable, then that would be the case right out of the gate.
Obviously this, you know, stuff gets very complicated. So I would check with an estate attorney just to clarify all of this. And so sorry to hear about your husband's passing.
Hey, thanks to my team today, Jim Henry, Devin Patrick, Pat Montague. Couldn't do it without him. Thank you for being here as well. I hope you have a wonderful weekend and come back and join us on Monday. Lord willing, I'll be here. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.